Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
That's right, it's political commentary time. We have Lara Greaves on the line. Morena, Lara.
Morena.
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I just spotted a beautiful tilly in a tree, which just cheered me up.
It's gorgeous. It's the little things, Lara, isn't it?
It is the little things, yes.
But we focused on the big things today. KiwiSaver policy.
I'm still looking at the Tui. Okay.
Okay, beautiful. All right.
Lock in, Lara. There's so much policy.
Lock in. Yep.
Let you have your moment of tranquility. But
yeah,
we're also...
the phone call's always pre-Ritalin. So, you know, we've got to bring it back in. Thank you. Yep.
So real. Too real.
Yeah.
National's KiwiSaver policy. It's kind of split the room, right?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. So you think about what KiwiSaver was back in the day, you know, it was like Helen Clark, Michael Cullen, Labor government policy came in about, 2007, I want to say, it was somewhere in there, to ensure that New Zealanders did have some kind of superannuation savings, more than just the sort of standard payment. And of course, one of the ideas behind superannuation type funds is always to build wealth within a country. So there's money sitting there and, yeah, just have that extra equity that people can access individually and collectively. And so it was Labor's policy. National criticised it as an exception from a right-wing party, but then now National are running with it. So that's kind of a fun and interesting thing that has happened. I mean, one of the things that we do teach in politics is that Labor tends to reform a bunch of things and then National tends to follow it. We saw that with a lot of the welfare policies from the first Labor government and neoliberal policies from the fourth Labor government in the 1980s. Mm. So this seems to be another kind of way of doing things. National have gone, okay, cool, KiwiSaver, yep, that's a good opportunity to build wealth in the country, yep, let's do it. Very middle class, let's do it. And they were kind of running with it. And one of their big policies that they've announced, if they get re-elected, is it'll be compulsory, there'll be a $1,500 boost for children on joining. They would pay contributions during someone's parental leave, which has been pointed to as a particular gender inequity. So there we go. That seems like good policy. Again, like, I've heard of smart people paying extra into one parent's KiwiSaver when they're on leave. But there we go. The government would help us do that. And, just some other... I can't remember what the other changes are, but, you know, those kind of tweaks around the edges that, like, seem to make a lot of sense. Yeah, and then people have criticised it and said, you know, like, again, for people that are, like, self-employed, that's a lot of money. Sometimes people are on total remuneration packages, so they don't get anything extra, so to speak, for KiwiSaver in order to make their, you know, their wages increase alongside their KiwiSaver or whatever. It would be their total package, so they have to pay more of their money into KiwiSaver. And so, yeah, there's critiques, there's criticisms, but, yeah, I mean, personally, I like it. But, yeah, you know, I can see it's whenever you're forcing people to do something, it feels a bit nanny state, you know, and that kind of thing. So I've seen commentary already that it's like this whole idea that is kind of, yeah, more like on that, along that lines of what people said back in the early 2000s about when Labor would put something in. Helen Clark was very much painted as Auntie Helen, or like this kind of power that could force you to do things. And they called that nanny state, and of course that was a bit gendered as well. Mm. And here we are in 2026.
Yeah. I guess my main concern is for those who, you know, with a compulsory contribution, who need every penny in their paycheck. Yeah, that was a bit of a worry when I saw that it would be compulsory. Yeah, it's just, it's fascinating to see National embrace a KiwiSaver scheme, right?
Yeah, totally. It's just something that I wouldn't have necessarily expected. And people have said, yeah, so when you're lower income, I'm thinking specifically as well about student populations who are quite young and don't have a lot of income. Mm. There are people that kind of choose not to get it for a while and then get it later. But if it's compulsory, you just have to contribute to it. And that kind of impacts people inequitably because, yeah, obviously, if you've got lower income, every dollar counts. If you've got medium or high incomes, you can kind of spare that. That's compulsory, but oh well, you're going to have to do it, oh well. So that's another kind of, I guess, factor in people's evaluation of this. But, yeah, it's hard because you do have to balance people's rights and interests at different points, don't you, as the government? And that's why this does feel a bit nanny state. But I think, you know, overall, longer term, New Zealanders having more KiwiSaver balances opens up a whole bunch of different types of policies, a whole bunch of, you know, like we would have more money in the country. And the other thing that people are saying is that opens up the possibility for changes to superannuation, because one of the big kind of issues intergenerational across governments is that the cost of superannuation is unsustainable relative to the tax take and relative to government finances. That's something that, you know, you kind of wonder with this, are you guys going to justify and try and make some changes to super, or like, I know they want to raise the age, but yeah, like,
Yeah, there's rumours of
balancing things.
Yeah, rumours of reforms or changes to superannuation. So I guess it's, are we just watching this space?
I think so. And one of those, some of those things where I was very encouraged to see this 30-year infrastructure plan and see the party sign up to it. I know it's pretty broad and vague, that plan, but I was quite encouraged by that. So it would be great to see them do a similar thing on superannuation. I mean, the extent to which Labor and National unite on anything is kind of amusing, given that their combined vote total is kind of down on the polls, but they're still the majority. So it would be great to see some kind of cross-partisan agreement as to what's going to fund superannuation and what's going to fund that part of the government books longer term.
Wow, interesting. And there's also been maybe a little bit of beef in the coalition, do you reckon?
Yeah, so National had its conference over the weekend and Simeon Brown came out with a speech talking about how National would like the parents and you know, it was kind of making this strange analogy where, like, perhaps the coalition partners were like children. And that for some, yeah, it came across a bit strange, but sure. And it came,
I mean, we were all sort of thinking it a little bit.
Yeah. And so this is the kind of the line, the balance that parties have to walk at this point. And I mean, what we used to have with this argument was counting the cost of the coalition argument, where it's like minor parties, if they were getting into government with major parties, had to differentiate their brand to like show that they were worth voting for, given it's hard to get over the threshold and people are worried about a wasted vote, so on and so forth. But in this case, like now we have these quite strong, powerful minor parties, and they've gotten pretty good at differentiating their brand and moving on and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, we've got a way more competitive environment, so now I think we can expect to see a bit more fighting than we normally see in election years, and a little bit more of that kind of disagreement among coalition partners. I mean, it does make it all very awkward around the coalition table, and I don't know if voters are that into it, but we'll see, we'll see.
It's always a little bit expected, though, like at this point in the election year, to start seeing more sort of fractures and people wanting to ensure that they're really campaigning for their party's vote rather than a coalition as a whole, right?
Yeah, because what National wants, and that's what they've been saying, is that for people to vote for them, because actually, like, sometimes their supporters will go, oh, I want to pull National to the right, so I'm going to vote for ACT. Or, like, people will go, oh, I want to make the Labor do something, so I'll vote for the Greens. You know, that kind of thing. Even though they might support their major party most of all. And so National are really fighting, and I mean Labor to some extent, this kind of global trend away from major parties. So they kind of do have to like really explicitly signal this to their voters and their supporters. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, like they're going to end up down and like winning in the 20% consistently over the next while, aren't they? So, or even, you know, if we did have a situation like they're facing in the UK and perhaps in Australia where it's like major parties, what we call party system realignment as political scientists, where, you know, you don't really have major parties anymore. So they kind of do have to say this, like, hey, vote for the major parties. I mean, but it is, I don't think just saying it's going to do much.
Yeah, true, true. Speaking of minor parties, we had the Greens announce their tax policy. What do you reckon about this?
Yeah, so the Greens, quite kind of smart timing with the National Party, the sort of conference and all of that going on at the same time. The Greens released their sort of quite comprehensive wealth tax policies. And now this policy, it's really targeted at, they say it's about 1,400 New Zealanders, but also just targeted at quite rich and well-off people. And so if you like the minimum, if your earner is like someone who earns $170,000 a year, and they would pay $20 more a week. So it's not, again, for those kind of like, earns a decent wage, earns a bit, they pay a little bit more, but the main thing is looking at wealth tax, so that people would pay a percentage. Say if they had, like, I think it was about $10 million, they would pay 2.5% tax every year. I think that those were the numbers on that. So they would pay more in their tax bill every year. And so, that, I mean, it's just, it's kind of classic the Greens. It's not, no one's shocked by this from the Greens, I think. They did release it on, it was on Sunday, but they'd accidentally, I think they'd uploaded it to their website a few hours earlier or something.
Oh, no.
People found it. It was like 2 hours different and it didn't make any difference. It didn't really leak or anything.
Yeah.
And then, of course, now today or yesterday, it came out that there's like a typo and it's one of the numbers is 800 million off. And, you know, like the Green, any political party is going to get targeted a lot, but the Greens, in relation to economics, of course, are going to get targeted a bit on it. But again, the substance remains. The substance remains. And, yeah, they're kind of going out to the electorate with it saying, well, people are supportive of this. Let's go. Let's see.
Mm. Yeah, you'd sort of hope, though, that when a party makes a typo or whatever, they do what the Greens have done and just sort of quickly correct it and then move on rather than leaving, I don't know, big fiscal holes in their budgets or whatever. Who would do that?
Helen Clark's been out campaigning for the parliamentary budget office. I think everyone's just like, come on, let's just get a parliamentary budget office. Let's just do this, you know, so we can actually talk about policy issues. Because, I mean, this week's been pretty good, you know. It's like people talking about KiwiSaver. People talking about a wealth tax. You know, we're off to a good start this week, really.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is, just the things kicking off for a big old few months of policy.
Yeah, there'll be a few scandals, though, surely. I mean, surely. Especially as it gets closer.
We're going to have a little bit of drama.
No, as it gets closer to the election.
Yeah.
And the reality is National, probably more National come up on the polls, question mark. But if National don't come up on the polls or go down in the polls, more people in that party will get desperate. Like, there's no way, you just can't do it. Because people will be looking at the numbers going, they're going to lose their seat. They'll be doing the door knocking and people will be going, don't like Luxon. And that's when there's a potential for there to be more drama, I think, in that space as well. And, of course, you know, Winston Peters, we're all talking about policies. And, yes, one of them actually is that KiwiSaver policy is a lot like Winston Peters' policy. Winston Peters always knows a way to rise the drama, eh? He's... Masterful at it. So,
too true. Well, I'm sure you'll keep us updated on every little bit of scandal that comes out in the next couple of months. And we look forward to catching up with you next week, Lara. Thank you for your time today.
Sure. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.